This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, June 27th.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
And June 30th is upon us, and Monday morning we'll all have a post on which to hang the price of corn. Will USDA have enough information to adequately forecast the 2008 acreage? Our panelist will tell us yes or no today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading. Our panelists today are Mike Giorgi of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain from Windsor, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Matt Bennett and everyone else, is there a harvested acreage corn number you're already considering that would cause you immediate concern on Monday morning? And if so, what is it?
Harvested acreage, I know there's a lot of different things thrown out there. My planted acreage, I still think that we're looking probably over the trade estimate, which I'm showing 85 and two-thirds. Yeah, I still think we're going to probably come in with a number of 86 or 7. I'm not saying that that's actually what's planted and up and looking good. I just think that's what the estimate's going to be. As far as harvested acreage, you know, anything under 77 or 8, I think's getting pretty darn bullish.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing.
I'd tend to agree with that. I guess my number would be 77. If you look at a 86 million planted and figure 90% of that, you're about 77 million acres. I think if you get below that number, that's a pretty friendly number. Probably, 79 or above would kind of be on the bearish side, I'd say.
And Mike Giorgi.
Well, Allendale estimates the planted acres at 383,000 over the USDA estimate of March. We're anticipating a 77.9 harvested acre, and with the 1.5 bushels less production number, that's already a reduction of 240 million bushels.
Do you think USDA's last-minute survey efforts will yield an accurate planted acreage picture on Monday morning?
I think it's going to help because I actually talked to a couple customers that said they were surveyed by the USDA. So I think they're making an effort, and I think it's going to be different than what they had after the first 2 weeks, yes.
Well, the average estimate of the analysts surveyed by Dow Jones Newswire puts U.S. 2008 corn acreage at 85.321 million, as we've heard already from Matt. That's down from USDA's March 31st estimate of 86 million acres. The estimates from the 18 analyst surveys ranged from 79.6 to 87.399. We've already got the Allendale numbers. What numbers are you working with?
I'm pretty much working with that 86 million. And like I say, about 77 on the harvested. I guess I think that the trade is, going back to your question about the resurvey, I think that's going to give enough confidence to the trade and the analysts. They're going to use that number until, you know, maybe we get to August and see that things are different. But I think it was very good of the USDA to come out and make that commitment to do that, because that's going to help the confidence of the trade in the number. And we'll go from there.
Matt, you're a farmer and a grain elevator operator. Both of you going to be confident Monday morning that USDA managed to get enough surveys back in the last week?
Yeah, I think along with these guys, I feel confident that they did. I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see what they come up with. I do think that most guys that had any ability whatsoever to be able to replant their corn probably went ahead and did, at least from what I've been told. So I don't know. I feel like there's some guys that didn't have the ability to get those planted, you know, so the last-minute survey would help. But I still tend to be at the high end of that range. I think that there's at least as far as this initial estimate goes, I think we're going to be, you know, between 86 and 87. I wouldn't be surprised to see it up in that neighborhood.
July corn this week had a high of $7.65, a low at 703.5. The settlement price at 754.75, up 33.5 cents from last week. New contract highs in the corn pit, by the way, this week. December futures, $7.87, up 31.5 cents from last week. How much higher can the marketplace go? And you might have to put that in context to what comes out on a Monday morning.
Well, I believe that there's anything's possible in this market. But if you came out with a bullish number, something down in the 83, 84 million probably even, I think that you'd take a 50 to 60 cent rise in the corn prices real fast. It was almost predetermined here, I think, that we're going to be sitting here within striking distance of new contract highs as we go into this report on Monday. And as we see the numbers going to probably go up and test it unless, you know, we come in with some kind of bigger number than expected. And I think, you know, if we go through those contract highs, we're probably going to make another move up pretty quickly.
Dan Zwicker said something about $9 to us on Thursday of this week. Do you think that's a possibility, Mike?
I think it's a very good possibility. I mean, we kind of feel that if we take another 100 million bushel out of this ending stock, we could go up another 90 cents.
And so what kind of high prices are you setting at?
That would put us right around $9.
Right at the $9 level. Matt, can grain elevators handle that kind of price?
Well, I think most guys have positioned themselves to maybe try to get out as, you know, maybe get some sales on the books and out of some of their hedges. So I do think that they can probably handle, at least I hope that they've gotten into that position. But it's definitely been a strain on everyone. Hopefully guys have moved enough grain as well and aren't carrying maybe quite as much of a hedge position as what they were before. But certainly if they're carrying a lot, another dollar move, I would think would be pretty tough to stomach.
Do you think liquidation will come in the livestock herds fairly quickly? Quarterly hogs and pigs report was out on Friday afternoon. It shows numbers that are still pretty good sized.
Yeah, that's surprising. I mean, I think feed costs are, you know, the guys that have got it contracted out, yeah, they can go ahead and function in the same way. But, you know, when you add $1.50, $2 a corn price in such a short time period, it's got to be tough on the livestock producers.
We'll come back to those livestock numbers in just a bit. What are you hearing from the ethanol industry? Are they turning away? We hear lots of rumors. We've seen some numbers about some bankruptcies potentially, certainly plants that are not opening as soon as they are suggested. Are they cutting back on production at this point? Are they looking at possibly turning themselves off for a while?
No, I think right now that the situation that they're in is that as the new plants are coming towards startup, they're not going through with that startup phase. That seems to be like, to me, like where we're at. Those plants, and we were talking about this before the show, those plants that are established and been running 4, 5, 6 years, I think those plants are probably in pretty good shape and probably had enough capital to hedge prior to the big run up in the corn market. Now, you may see some plants that have the corn hedged, and they're hedged out for 6 to 8 months, and they may have to make the decision, do we just stop the operations and take the profit on the hedges rather than continue to run. And you may see some of that occurring. But as far as the overall industry, it looks to me like the new ones are not coming online, but we're not seeing a lot of the old ones shut down yet.
Mike, on Monday, quarterly grain stocks reports will be out. Will it show a lower number, actually a higher number than expected based on some of this cutback in the ethanol industry?
No, we think that the third quarter numbers and are going to be good, and I think you're going to see high usage numbers, and the ending stocks are going to be lower again.
And so, what kind of numbers are you working with?
We're looking at about a 2.9 usage.
A 2.9 usage.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, as we look at those numbers for the quarterly grain stocks, I think quarterly grain stocks numbers are at this point looking at 3.9. Unless I wrote that number down wrong, I've got a 3.9. It must be a 2.9.
No, it's 3.9.
Yeah, 3.9 on the stocks. Yeah. A 3.9 billion bushel on the stocks. What would be a number that might move the marketplace fairly quickly in the on Monday and might offset anything that would happen in the acreage.
Well, I think that any time you drop stocks, it's definitely going to help. It's definitely going to be a combination of factors, though. There's going to be a lot for the market to digest, and who knows what the weather's going to bring on Monday as well. There's just a lot of different things going on. I think that you're going to have a pretty high acreage number along with a pretty high stocks number, though, to really move the market sharply lower.
July soybeans like this week, $15.93 top, a low at $14.89¾. Saddlebone price at $15.81½, up 49 cents from last week. The November beans at $15.59½, up 50½ cents from last week. If the number is low enough on Monday morning in the corn, and I know these aren't quite related, but most people talk about them in this form, but total acreage numbers, if they're down enough, will USDA go ahead and open up CRP in order to mitigate some of the issues to the upside?
I think it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point that at least some of the CRP acres will be opened up. I think there may be some limits on, the erosion type and maybe not all the acres that are eligible, but I think we will see some acres opened up as we go into the 2009 season.
And speaking of acres, the planted acreage numbers from USDA on average from the trade guests at 74.203. The range from 71.9 to about 76 million acres. Anybody outside of that range? Seeing none, then we'll move on. What kind of number would make a difference on that? Will Iowa's number be bigger in beans, do you think, since they're surveying and they didn't get the corn acres in? Will they have put beans in at this point?
It's hard to say. I mean, I had some people in Iowa that they had a window there when we were wet one week. They got a lot of their corn planted. A lot of them they had sprayed, so they had to put corn in. There were some that planted corn on June 10th because they already had it sprayed. And they had to put corn in it. So I think the corn was in. I talked to a guy today, and they're worried more about getting all the beans in.
Are you an additional seller of new crop corn or soybeans at this time?
No.
Not 08 crop.
No.
09?
I think that, myself, the focus needs to be pointed towards 09 a little bit because, to me, that's where we're going to start seeing the usage really probably back up as we get into that 09 crop year. And if people are locking in input costs that are as high as they are, they need to consider whether they need to have something locked in on the floor side of it.
July wheat futures this week, a high of 9.52¾, a low at 8.42¼. Settlement price for the July up 29 cents at $8.95½. The July 09 at $9.69¾, up 27¼. Is wheat harvest looking like it's going to proceed fairly orderly at this point?
I think so. I mean, the wheat, it's, you know, there's a lot out there worldwide. I mean, we're here in Egypt and stuff is making purchases from Russia instead of us. Our grain's probably the highest stuff out there. Our basises are tight, so I think you got to hold on to the wheat and hope the basis gets better. But I think progression and the yields have been really, really good.
July oats this week, a $4.32 settlement price, up 16½ cents from last week over at the Mercantile Exchange from the CME Group. June live cattle had a high of $101, a low at $95.82½, and their settlement was at $100.97½, up $5.40. The August feeders at $111.72½ were down $1.85, and July lean hog futures $77.30 for the high, the low at $72.87½. July lean hog settled $73.20. They were down $3.97½. Quarterly hogs and pigs report, of course, was out on Friday afternoon. U.S. inventory for all hogs and pigs on June 1st was at 67.7 million head. That's up 6% from the June 1st, 2007, and up a percentage point from March of 2008. The breeding inventory at 6.07 million head, down 1% from last year and down 1% from the previous quarter. The market hog inventory at 61.6 million head. That was up 7% from last year and up 1% from last quarter. Do you agree with the assessment we heard this week on the air that cheap DDGs have in part kept the livestock industry from liquidating? And now that ethanol plants are poised to slow production, a domino effect could take place there and have the livestock herds liquidating as well?
I think the livestock people that I work with, yes, done a lot of innovative things as far as rations and DDGs and that type of thing. You know, the availability of it as the ethanol slows down, I'm not sure that's a factor. I think the industry has changed, and what this report today tells us is that maybe not everybody knows how to analyze the industry the way it's set up today, where you've got the vertically integrated companies.
In 2 minutes, we'll speak with Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Pleasant summer weather held on through the first part of this week with seasonable temperatures and low dew points. The humidity did begin to rise at midweek, reminding us of what summer is normally like in Illinois. Temperatures this week averaged 2 to 3 degrees below normal. Most of that was made up on the low temperatures, which regularly dropped into the 50s for the first half of this week. High temperatures averaged pretty close to normal. Rain this week was generally scattered in most parts of the state and pretty light. The one exception was in western Illinois, where 2 to more than 3 inches of rain fell where they least needed. This was the last thing needed along the Mississippi River, and the heavy rain in Missouri and western Illinois caused the Mississippi to rise again. A band of 1 to 1.5 inches of rain stretched across north-central Illinois, generally south of I-80. South of that, the scattered thunderstorms dumped a quarter to a half inch of rain in some areas. A cold front moving through Illinois this weekend will trigger more showers and thunderstorms, and coverage should be good. Northern Illinois could receive 1 to 1.5 inches of rain with locally higher amounts. The southern half of the state should see 0.5 to 1 inch amounts, again with locally higher amounts and some thunderstorms. Cooler and less humid air will spill in behind this system and bring several more days of nice weather next week. Colder air aloft could produce scattered showers, especially in northern Illinois on Monday, and after that, things should dry out. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois. This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, June the 27th. Our guest is Jim Bauer, the president of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Jim established his company in 1984, he says, to better serve the producers and speculators of that local area. And since then, his clients have expanded to cover the entire United States and Brazil, South America, and encompasses investors of all types. Jim Bauer is also in his 21st year as a senior grains analyst for Ag Day TV. Jim, thanks for being with us today.
Glad to be with you.
In your Thursday morning segment on Ag Day this week, you suggested the most important factor producers had to be aware of in the marketplace was any new policy decision out of Washington that might force the market lower, and that the goal would be to pull the trigger on additional sales before Washington moved. Are you concerned the Monday morning grain stocks and acreage reports will cause Washington to act?
I feel that now that we've reached some areas where gross revenue per acre, particularly on those fields which haven't sustained significant damage, and there are some really good fields there. I know the media gets a hold of a lot of the adverse situation, but what we've done, particularly this week in front of this crop report, is to step up our sales for those producers who can gross somewhere between $1,400 and $1,500 per acre based upon their estimation of their, well, what appears to be a very good yield potential. I think the situation on Monday's report, and again, I have to do the breakdown for the Chicago Board of Trade CME Group after the release of the report, is one that could have a lot of impact, and it's one that, you know, may not have an impact. But I will tell you directly, I'm taking a much more cautionary stance now that I see this activity that's starting to take place in Washington.
Yeah, Jim, Matt Bennett here. Whenever you look at acreage, I know we talked a little bit earlier in the show about guesses, but, you know, what number are you working with, and what number would cause you concern that we would be looking at another leg higher?
Well, the average trade guess on corn is about 85.66 and soybeans at 74.25. So I'm inclined to essentially go along with those numbers. However, I'm sure you've talked about this already, but these acreage forecasts are going to lack some degree of credibility due to the lack of confidence in the NASF report because of the survey was done partially at the last minute. The other issue is the pre-prevent plant acres are certainly going to be in question because it's my understanding those numbers won't be turned over by the insurance industry to the government until at least August 15th, is my understanding. That means they probably won't surface until the September crop report. So even though we're going to get the numbers, there's still going to be a certain degree of lack of confidence. However, I will do two things. I will compliment the USDA on trying to do the right thing. And secondary, these are the numbers that Bauer Trading and my staff will use with fervor in trying to determine exactly where that supply-demand table is, and it's something that we will base our decisions off of from a fine-tuning standpoint as the season goes on. So it is a very important report.
Jim, Bill Mayer, looking at things maybe on a little bit broader scale, can our economy sustain long-term commodity prices, you know, oil to $140 and corn and soybeans at the price levels they are?
Well, I did an interview here just recently for the television media, and that's a good point. And I don't know that anyone really knows the answer, but, you know, I've been through the big sell-off in 1987. I was in the situation when the Russian grain embargo came on and pretty much a CFTC announcement that really train wrecked the market. I've learned when you start getting the political environment nervous with rapidly rising food, rapidly rising energy prices, not only here, but particularly overseas. In fact, I think every major stock market in the world right now, except Brazil, and I think Brazil is up about 8.7% for the year in their currency, the market is clearly telling the world, forget about what Jim Bauer says, but the market clearly tells the world by the action in the equities markets that, no, we cannot sustain these kind of continued rises in both fuel and food feed prices. So the function of the market is to discipline government, and I think the market is going to make the leadership, not only here in the United States but worldwide, either find a solution to these supply problems or we're going to ration out this demand and we are going to hurt some people before it's over.
Mike Georgie here. Couple, you know, you talk about the government. With the announcement of the CFTC today, do you think they're going to come into this market? And I think they're going to focus on the crude oil market. But if they do something there, will that affect the grain markets as well? And also, is there the possibility they could come in and take the tariff off sugar ethanol and allow that to come in?
Well, absolutely. If we get to a situation where we find the carryout, let's say we get into major problems from what we've already sustained on this year's crop here in the United States, and we start drawing down that S&D table, particularly in soybeans, say below 100 million. Corn, let's say it starts dropping down below even 400 million, certainly below 300 million carryout, I don't think they have much choice. They cannot afford to let the nation's food supply become in jeopardy. And certainly I think they've already brought to the table hints, actually pretty strong hints, that if it does get down to the point where it becomes a choice between food, feed, and fuel, they're going to go with food. And consequently, yes, I think they would change the tariff. I think they would alter the blender's credit. Certainly the CRP is wide open now for change. And I wouldn't be surprised if it got bad enough that they could put a tariff on some of our exports. It wouldn't be, what, quote, an embargo, but certainly we've seen other foreign countries here just in the past 6 months, particularly when the wheat market got out of hand, they were issuing tariffs, at least temporarily. Now, I don't think it would be a broad-based brush, just wipe out to the ethanol industry, but I think it would be kind of like they do in the interest rates. They would gradually maybe suspend some situations, try to incrementally make some changes. A drastic change would just be too devastating to the market. I think they're smart enough to try to incrementally make some changes, but they cannot afford to let the nation's food supply go into deficit. That will not happen.
You mentioned the 100 and below 100 carry out for the soybeans, but we've been in recent years to as little as 105 on carry out that really didn't have a tremendous impact on the marketplace.
Well, I think that is also correct, but we also have a demand situation from a global standpoint where we're increasing the global demand for soy and soy products annually about 8 to 10 million metric tons per year. So this the situation becomes even more delicate from a global standpoint because it is a global market, and we're off. So let's just be honest. There are some of these soybean fields that look absolutely terrible. Now, maybe we were able to get some crops back in and some replant and some respots, and maybe this thing will come out of it, but if we turn super hot and dry in July and August, I think this market is going to punish a lot of these end users who have waited and who have not made procurement ahead of this particular time frame. And again, as I said, the function of the market is to discipline government. The market's going to make them make decisions. They won't have a choice.
Yeah, Jim. So if you're a producer, I know you said you were moving forward with some of your guys that you felt more comfortable with their production on. You know, what about farther on out? Are you guys working towards trying to protect some of the value of this corn market for producers out a year or two?
I just had a talk just a few minutes before this program with one of the nation's largest seed dealers and chemical companies, a very, very sharp outfit. But the thing that we talked about in specific for their clientele, we're trying to put the word out that if the elevator and the commercial firms are not in a position to extend those offers for 2009-2010 bids, we here at Bauer Trading are very, very adamant about the fact that we will work directly with that bank or that lending institution. If we get these prices high enough, long enough, we want to be in a position to lay out some hedges for 2009 and 2010. We went through that situation in wheat at Bauer Trading. It was pretty nerve-wracking. I'll be the first one to admit it. In fact, my knees were knocking together a few nights making those decisions with those producers. But we did honor the 2009 and 2010 offers. We worked with the banks night and day, and we got some sales off at some terrific prices. But it was tough, so we're trying to prepare people now to be ready if the commercial firms won't give you the offers that we'll take them at Bauer Trading.
Okay, thanks much, Jim.
Thanks a lot.
Jim Bauer is with Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. Now a final word from our panelist in studio, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain.
Yeah, I just buckle up, hold on tight. Monday's going to be a big day, and just keep your head. And if you do get good rain and feel good about your production, make a few sales on the way up.
Bill Mayer of Rochag Marketing.
I think when you're going through the things that you've gone through this year from a production standpoint, it's easy to lose your focus and make too narrow of a focus. Make sure that you back up and kind of look at things in general and from a macro perspective.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Allendale is nearby bullish yet with the markets and the late planting and the weather here, but definitely protect your downside and make sales as we go up.
That's this edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can see Commodity Week, the closing market report, and other agricultural programming aired on WILL anytime you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.